Everybody, just give a big stretch since it's the beginning of the week. I'm not ready for Monday. Never am. All right, well, welcome everybody. Today is May 13th, 2024. And Monday meetings are a chance for motion designers from around the globe to connect, ask questions, share inspiration, and engage with industry-leading artists on a level playing field. I'm your host, Jen Van Horn, and today I'm joined with Sarah Wade. We're going to have an open discussion, so please have your questions ready. And if you have a question, please use the raise your hand button in the Zoom to be called on. If you're unable to ask your question, please type question in the chat and can ask them for you. And as usual, this call will be recorded. So if you have any concerns about something said on the call, just let us know and we'll edit it out for the podcast release. So I have a few opening topics before we get started. As always, thank you to our Patreon supporters. We are working on things to make Patreon a little more tasty for those of you who haven't joined our Patreon yet. So stay tuned for that. And I'm excited to announce, thanks to Kendall, we have our Monday meeting LinkedIn and we have our Monday meeting Instagram accounts. So just posted those in the chat. We're going to have those in our show notes and we're going to add them to our Discord later too. So please give us a follow, reshare stuff that you love, that we put out and stay tuned. We're going to have some cool posts, not just the join us posts. So we're planning on that. For those of you who have been finding it hard to make it to this meeting, so these are our listeners after the fact, I guess I'm talking to you. We're going to release a poll this week on the Discord. Actually, we're going to release it today on the Discord and in the show notes, and we're going to put it in the chat. We're going to see if there's a better time that serves this entire community of listeners. So you'll be able to put your time zone in and your preferred meeting time. And we're going to probably go with the majority. So this may or may not change an hour or two. I know that we have a lot of West Coasters, but I think the majority of us are East Coast to Central Mountain Time. So we'll see how that changes. Monday meetings are a hard time to schedule because one, it's Monday. Two, everyone's getting back to work and they have meetings of their own, usually starting off the week. So we'll see. Also, we are not going to have a call on Memorial Day at the end of the month. We're going to take a little bit of break that week. But the week after, we're going to have a guest on the call. Joe Basile from thechicken.net will be joining us to talk about effective sound design for motion projects. We'd love to get some listener questions started to send in ahead of time or to read on the call. For those of you who can't make it to that call, if you have questions about sound design, it's definitely something that I'm really passionate about. I feel like I could hear a project before I can think about it moving. So for those of you who are also excited about that, please send us some questions. We're going to have a form pretty soon that we'll release that you can do that. And also, if you have topic ideas for future episodes, leave us an email at info@mondaymeeting.org. That email might be changing. We'll let you know. or drop your topic idea in Discord. We appreciate it. All right. Well, I mean, Sarah, I feel like we started chatting when we were hanging out before earlier this week and thought this would be kind of cool to talk about here. Do you want to bring up your question that you kind of wanted to kick us off with?
Sure. Yeah, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Sarah Wade. I have been a longtime freelancer, and then I was on staff at School of Motion for a couple of years, and I've recently gone back to full-time freelance. So this is fresh in my mind, the idea of when you have full control of how to plan your day, how do you do that? How do you structure it? How do you, you know, when do you do client work? When do you do personal work? When do you do outreach and all that stuff? I also recently read a book called Daily Rituals, How Artists Work. And it's like a bunch of artists through history. So like Beethoven and famous writers and famous painters that are long dead and how they worked. And it was really interesting because some of them, you know, drink 18 cups of coffee and some of them get totally drunk or high. And like, it's just really interesting how all these different people work. So how do you work?
That is a great question. Also, could you put a link to that book in the chat? Because that sounds really cool.
You betcha. It's a good one.
I love hearing everybody's hacks because everyone kind of does it a little differently, I feel like, which is exciting, especially those of us who are neurodivergent. I think we have to have different ways to set up our planning. So if anyone wants to jump in and talk about any cool tips and tricks they have for organizing their schedule, Augustine, jump on in.
Yeah, I would start like saying that whatever you may read probably won't apply to you. Because I think like every system is like very specific to a specific person. Mm-hmm. Some have kids, some have, you know, somebody loves to do sports at night, somebody loves to do sport in the morning. It's like, I think it's very personal, and certainly there's hacks and stuff you can do, but then I think you will have to find your system on your own by gathering a little bit all over the place. But I will share what I do, and then maybe that resonates for you and maybe not, who knows. But it's that's totally okay. So first of all, I have kids. So that's, to me, when I wake up in the morning, that's like the first thing I take care of, is make sure the kids at school and stuff like that. And also like to avoid drama at home, you know, like, and then like what I do regarding to work is like, I segment that into chunks where I'm like deeply focused on it. So let's give a scenario. For example, like I wake up in the morning, shower, breakfast with the kids, drop at school, back at home, which is my office. And generally when I'm back at home, it's like 8:30. So let's say I have like 3 hours and 30 minutes of like work. And I do like a big 2 hours chunk of deep work, where there's no, like no social, no phones, like no nothing. Then I take a break, because anyway, you have to like break up your work every 2 hours to like kind of refresh and move your body and stuff like that, mm-hmm. to keep it healthy. So I take like a 10, 15 minute like break just to kind of like refresh my mind, stand up, walk a little bit, go into the garden, play with the dog, you know, change, kind of like change your ideas. And then like, I take on like a shorter chunk, which can be half an hour or maybe an hour of something else, which can be social outreach, social media posts, some emails I have to address and people and stuff and feedback, like, you know, all the kind of administrative things, which are a little bit boring. But like doing the 2 hour deep concentration, get me in that loop of work. Then I take a break for like to eat. Again, when I eat, I avoid screens, because that completely, like, that's my experience. Like when you eat, you have to be focused on your body. If you're like stuck to your phone, that kind of like drains my energy. And then when I go back to work, I have a really hard time to get like focused, or it takes me at least 20 minutes, half an hour to get into it. And then again, like 2 hours chunk, break, then 2 hours chunk. Then that's around the time when my kid comes back from school. So family time, quality time with the family, walk for the dog. And then if I have more stuff, I do that like at night. And again, like those chunks I do in the afternoon might be 2 times 2 hours chunk, or 2 times 1 hour and 1 2 hours. But I don't make those things shorter, because it already takes you at least 15 minutes to get into the loop of what you're doing. So if you're taking like half an hour to do like design work, you will probably get nowhere, because you don't have to, as soon as you get in, you have to stop to do something else.
Yeah.
And this has been kind of like a discipline to stick to it, because I have a very scattered mind. So I tend to like, oh, let's keep on doing more of this. And then, oh, but I have to do that. And then everything becomes really stressful. And I've came to accept that when something is not done after the time I allowed to that, well, it's going to be for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And that has allowed me to also recover like time for myself, whatever is it, like reading, personal work, playing a video game, more time with the family, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise you become a slave of your work. And I've been that for a long time. and you start feeling it afterwards on your body, on your behavior, and the quality of what you do. And I've avoided also working after some late hours, because in any way, everything you're going to put out after that time is going to be probably bad. And yeah. What takes half an hour will take three. So yeah, that's kind of my routine. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean it will apply to you. I think you have to experiment and find what works for you.
I agree. I feel like that's also something. If you're not sure where your peak sort of energy areas of the day are, start kind of taking journal notes, because then you can kind of maybe manipulate your schedule so it fits those peaks. Like if you normally have a really good protein boost at lunch or something, and you want to ride that wave, you know, like you want to make sure, like Augustine said, maybe don't eat lunch in front of a screen, which I am so guilty of. And then 2 hours go by instead of the half hour I wanted to just sit there. Then, you know, you got to kind of like fit that in. And I definitely prefer to do longer stretches when I work. So I try to block out the first half of the day and the last half of the day for working. And then I try to remember to take lunch. I try to set alarms for everything, because once I work, it's really easy to just get sucked right in, and 8 hours go by without me blinking or stretching. And yeah, it takes a toll on your body. And for those of us who are in our late 30s, it's more older. It's you start to feel it pretty quickly.
One of the things I've read is that, and I've read this repeatedly in different sources, is that you really only have the capacity for like maybe 4 to 6 hours of deep work every day. Right. Yeah. So like getting those blocks of time in when you can do that deep work is critical. And if you have a day job, right, like you can't control, like you can't say, oh, I'm going to get my best deep work in from 10 a.m. to noon, because you probably have meetings. So I think that's the great thing about being freelance, is you can say, oh, well, my most productive deep work time blocks are this and this, and I'm going to do that no matter what, and not schedule any meetings during that time. But yeah, like you said, you have to figure that out, like jot down when you're actually feeling you're in the flow and when you're working really well, as opposed to when you feel like you're fighting it.
I also try to schedule, like for me, I've been trying this thing out where I only do client work between Tuesday and Friday, and Monday is Monday meeting day. It's the day where I have reviews and other client meetings and admin stuff to get all of that out of the way, so that I can have fun doing the work I love doing the rest of the week. And then sometimes I'll schedule something at the end of the week to kind of like temper down to my weekend. So you just got to kind of figure out kind of works for you. Cause I think Sarah and I even talked about how you said that you couldn't do admin all in one day, cause that would like fry your circuit. So
I can't do it. I tried last week, because a lot of people do what you do. They have an admin day where they do all the outreach, all the CRM stuff, all the, you know, invoicing, just all that stuff. And I tried to do it last week, and I just couldn't. I procrastinated it all, because the thought of doing that stuff all day long just made my brain go, nope, 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 nope. So I think for me, I have to do like an hour every morning of like catching up on any of that stuff that I need to do. And then I know it's only, okay, it's 30 minutes to an hour. I can do it. I can get through it. It'll be done. I can check it off, and I'm good.
Yeah, for sure. EJ, jump on in.
Yeah, I will say I have lunch almost 100% of the time in front of a screen. So I'm definitely trying to not do that. But as someone who's just starting out freelance, again, I'm struggling with the same things you are, Sarah. And thinking about some of those things Augustine has said, like I can't do one day of admin work, especially just because there's so much outreach going on right now for me. So my breakdown of the day pretty much ends up being 10 a.m. and then towards 2 p.m. is kind of where I do all the admin work, reach out, Slack, Discord, LinkedIn, just whatever it is, following up with like clients, creatives, whatever it is, basically all the way until lunch. And then once I have lunch in me, that's kind of when I start getting creative. And that's usually between like 2 to like 8 p.m. But then I start falling into the cycle of what Augustine was saying, is like your whole day is just being turned on, and then it's like the burnout and all that other stuff in general overall.
Yeah, I call it mush brain. I think it's usually around 6 or 7. I get mush brain.
Yeah, so it's just trying to figure out what to do overall. I think And then I also have like a business partner because they're trying to like kick off a business. So like that's the other thing as well, as all the stuff that goes into that in general. We're trying to think like, how can we get to a place where like we're not working, you know, the whole week? We maybe it's similar to you, Jen, is like a few days a week and just figuring out how to schedule that overall in general.
Awesome.
I find it helpful, like, sorry, Jen, when I get that slump, and like Augustine was mentioning this in the chat, like there's always that time of day where I feel like a little bit blah and I can't focus on something. Mm-hmm. And I just do like cardio or weights or something. And then by the end of that, my brain is completely out of work and ready to like come back to it, because it's kind of opposite, right, of what we all do sitting in a computer all day.
Yeah.
You can also take slow, like very little naps. Like,
yeah, I micro nap.
There's mm-hmm. weeks where there is like so much work. Like I schedule, like I kind of like now know when that needs to happen, but it's like a 15 maximum 20 minute nap.
Yeah.
Like very maximum, not more than that, because you're into deep sleep. Otherwise, then you're fucked up. Mm-hmm. But like 15, and then like I have one snooze, and the snooze is just to wake up gradually. You know, it's like, it's not like you wake up and you go up and you're ready. It's like you wake up, you press snooze, but you don't fall asleep again. Like you stay awake. That gives you the time to like kind of like become to your senses. And generally that also kind of like washes a little bit the brain mush and helps like power up.
Yeah. The other thing is, I'm sure a lot of us are not morning people, so it definitely takes a while for my brain to wake up. Like I meet my wife, because as soon as the alarm is up, she's out the door in like 5 minutes and she's like doing her stuff, and she's most productive in the morning. And then by the time 4 p.m., like she's like brain dead. Whereas me, it's the opposite. That's when I'm like slowly starting to wake up from my end. So it's just interesting how people's brains work differently.
Yeah. Like I don't wake up. I have a blackout mask and like earplugs and stuff. So I wake up gradually with my Fitbit, like vibrates my wrist. So that's been kind of a nice way to wake up. It's not as jarring as a alarm noise. So usually it's like, it'll vibrate my wrist. I'll take the earplugs out and that'll be my snooze. And then it's usually like I leave 10 minutes before I have bird sounds go off as my alarm. So I feel very nature-y, even though, you know, I don't go outside. But, you know, I talked to someone not too long ago who had a really great tip about from moving between having a commute every day to being self-employed. He kind of triggers a commute by going for a walk or going on a treadmill to just kind of get his mind going before work. And then he did the same thing when he got off of work. And I thought that was a cool way to kind of transition your brain. Hans, you want to jump in?
Yeah, no, I agree with a lot of what EJ and Sarah were saying. And I think it is interesting like to at least go from like a 9 to 5 or something where you're like, this is my work day. And then going freelance is sort of like, I remember feeling almost slightly guilty where it's like, I'd get through the, like in the morning I'd have sort of like my peak for like being able to do a little bit more like mental kind of work. Right. Mm-hmm. Versus like getting a little burnt out towards the end of the day and then realizing at one point, like, oh wait, I could shift my schedule around where like I feel, you know, right to do whatever tasks. And like, even sometimes like, from like my personal artwork, I'll like, you know, be burning the midnight oil or something, just cause I know, like, you know, I have like full freedom during that time or whatever. So like sometimes if I'm working on a project and like feeling kind of burnt out midday, it's like, I'll go for a bike ride knowing that like, okay, I'll get back to this in the evening when it's like, I lose track of time. Cause there's no like, you know, sun going down. It's just like dark, I'm in my zone doing my thing. But yeah, so just in general, like I think everyone's very different, and just kind of like if you go freelance and, you know, all of a sudden there's no chains and you can kind of do whatever you want, I feel like it's good to just kind of like be a little bit mindful of whatever your pattern is and just kind of adapt to that.
Yeah, and building your own business hours is just a really good standard practice for when you're self-employed and working with clients, because then they know what your business hours are, so they don't call you at midnight like I had when I first started. I had a client that was constantly calling me late at night. So yeah, it helps transition your brain too when you're so used to working within a routine. Stick to that routine and just kind of move small bits around until that starts to feel more comfortable. Because I think just too much crazy change is a recipe for disaster. Because that's usually, if I don't have any structure, that's when I freak out. So for me, I definitely love still setting alarms to things. Like, I even have alarms on the weekends. My body won't allow me to sleep in anyway. So my dog won't allow me to sleep in anyway. Augustine, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I wanted to bounce on two things. Like, first was something that like EJ said on the chat just now, like that like he only gets like quiet when it's like after 3, 4 p.m. Like, what I always say is like, people can wait. Like, we are in this like culture where everything is like needs to be answered like now. And if you, personally, if I work like that, I get nothing done because I get interrupted like so many times by so many things, and it completely breaks my creative flow, like hardcore.
Yeah.
So,
same.
So I there's stuff like I really like said, like from this time, like I said, like no calls, no nothing. If there are emails, I will see those later. You know, but I don't go checking my mailbox every 10 minutes to see if something got in. Like, those things can wait, unless, of course, you are on this like super hardcore deadline that you need to finish or whatever. Then that might be different. So that's one thing. And the other thing I wanted to say is, like, you know, like we tend to joke about like 9-to-5 work as a freelance, but there's a reason why work has been established from 9-to-5. Because there's like a certain amount of hours and people fought for that. And so I know as freelancer, our schedules tend to be longer, but don't lose the sight from the fact that, again, you need time to rest. You need time to replenish your brain for like tomorrow's creativity. So don't, like, again, balance those. Like, I realized that balancing those things better made me a better artist. I was like, I had clearer mind the next day and stuff like that. So, don't do 9-to-5, but don't do 9 to 2 a.m.
Well, for me, I prefer, this is why I don't love doing hourly. I like flat rates, and then I give them a window, and then I get it done in that window. Because like Sarah said, sometimes I have a blah day and I don't want to work on anything. So that allows me to kind of shift my schedule around. So sometimes I'm not doing anything that day. Sometimes I'm doing nothing but work, and I do better when I do those like power sprints sometimes. But everyone kind of like, you know, reacts differently to those type of schedules. And sometimes it makes sense for me to block out time, but then I have those days where it's just like, oh wow, my brain is not want to work today. So I'm going to lean in, because that usually means I'm going to burn out soon, or I'm going to have a panic attack soon. I need to rest now. So I need to learn to make sure I'm staying hydrated. Kendall in the chat said something really great about the POW, they having protein, oxygen, and water to, you know, make sure that your stamina, you know, you want to keep going. So yeah, paying attention to your.
I will quickly add that that's like a gymnastic, you know, like how you have to, in the beginning, when you start going to the gym, it's hard because you're not used to it. Mm-hmm. Well, your brain state is also like a gym. Like, it's when you stop reading for a long time, like, and start reading again, it's hard in the beginning. And I think, of course, creativity is not like something like doing math where you just sit and do it. But I would say that you can train your brain to be more, flexible. And sometimes there's moments where I really don't want to work. Mm-hmm. And I'm not advocating for this, but I know I have to do it. So I push through that initial, like, you know, reaction of like, I don't want to do anything. And in the end, great stuff comes out also from it. You know, I'm not saying you have to go burnout, not at all. I'm just saying sometimes it's our laziness somehow speaking in the back of our heads, like, I don't want to do it. But if you push through it, you can do great things sometimes too. That's mental gym.
Yeah. And I've had tricks before that go on these calls where how I trick my brain with sensory memory, because yeah, there's certain days where I can't just do nothing. I have a deadline. I have to finish this today because I did nothing all the rest of the week. So I definitely I have like my desk snacks. I've got my peppermint oil because peppermint oil gets me in the mood to work, which is something that you just, it really could be any smell that you're just kind of training your brain with practice and routine, because that kind of digs in that neural pathway to make it easier to transition. So it does get easier to push yourself into work if you really need to, because we're artists and you can't wait until the artistic, you know, creativity like flares up, because we need to get paid. So that's something that everyone kind of needs to kind of figure out for themselves for sure.
I'm almost the opposite of you, Jen. I feel like I have to, like, I'm so schedule oriented. I need to do this at this time and this at that time. And that does not change unless there's a really good snowstorm and I need to get on my snowboard. Otherwise it's like, oh, it's a weekday. I'm at my desk at this time. And yeah, I can't switch it up. It's like messes my brain up to change things too much.
Yeah, that's what, baby steps. And same with you, if you're having a hard time trying to like get into work, breaking everything down into the smallest step and just doing that one step sometimes will, you know, kind of force the rest of your brain to move forward and keep working. EJ.
Yeah, I mean, just starting something, sometimes it's like a domino effect for things in general and just getting through that first hurdle. But to what Augustine was mentioning before, Yeah, my goal is to get to the point where it's like that can wait. But unfortunately, like a lot of the clients I have now are quick turnaround. So I'm just waiting for feedback. And it's just like checking the emails or whatever it is. That's usually why it really helps having a producer or a project manager or someone that their task is, hey, it's here. You can come in and like actually talk about it. And that way you can just keep focusing on creativity and all that other stuff. But if you're a freelancer and you're a person in a company of one, like it's much difficult because you have to have many hats and you have to keep in checking in and just figuring out how to balance all that. Like I have one client that's like a 6 month long project and like that can wait. That's usually something that just leave there. So it's just kind of just prioritizing what things have more of a priority overall in general. But yeah, my goal is to get to a point where just like everything can wait. And it's just like my schedule is my schedule. And hopefully I got there basically.
I'm kind of getting into that. It's funny because for me, it was the dopamine of checking off every task. But sometimes I get a dopamine hit when I push something to the next day, which it's a balance. I can't push everything to the next day and always. But that's what I love using Notion, because it's super easy for me to just grab a task and throw it to the next day. So I'm getting really good at prioritizing on the fly immediately and just like, you know what, this is not that important. You know what, this one's not even making me money. You know, so I'm just pushing things. But I like to keep at least this is the stuff that I need to get done by the end of the month. And then when I have free time, I'll go to that list and grab something and bring it in when I can. So I have my daily to-do lists, my monthly and my yearly on the same page with the calendar, which is great to move stuff around, because unfortunately it's the social stuff that gets the axe when I don't manage my time properly. I have to keep working.
Yeah. Especially if it's like favors or stuff, like you said, like that just has to go to the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel bad, but
yeah. One of the things I tried to do unsuccessfully many times is time blocking, because I was thinking of it as in like every day from 9 to 12, I'll do this. And every day from 1 to 4, I'll do that. And it never worked for me because I have to do exactly what you said, Joe. But once I started time blocking on a weekly basis, like every Sunday, I'm like, this is what I think I'm going to do this week. And then re-blocking as needed every afternoon. Now I time block everything. Like absolutely everything is time blocked in my kid, but it's not the same every day. It's changing a lot. I'm still at my desk during the same hours, but I'm constantly moving around those priorities to respond to whatever's happening.
I like that re-blocking. I definitely have used time blocking too as a way to gamify some of my stuff. I feel like my Sunday morning is when I get this huge burst of energy. And I was like, okay, I got to use that to do every single chore I've been wanting to do all week. And then I try to be like, you got to get it done by noon, because that's when you're Taco Bell is arriving or something. Like, I'll put some sort of thing. Usually it's a takeout. I'll treat myself at the end of the week. And I'm like, by the time that gets here, you need all your plants watered. You need all of the dishes in the dishwasher. You need laundry going. You need, you know, to do your floors and stuff. So that's been kind of fun. Cause it's like, it's a fun game for me when I can try to block out as many tasks as possible within a time frame. Cause then that's just a lot of checkboxes that I see before noon. And then usually the rest of the day is a lot easier to tackle because I have so much that I've accomplished. It's fun to ride that.
You're tricking yourself into doing all the chores.
Yeah.
It's interesting because when I was full time, I would do all my chores on the weekend. But now that I'm freelance, I'm like spreading it out.
I should be doing that.
If I don't do that, I feel like I have no weekend. The weekend is just chores. So I've been doing like try to do like one chore a day. So like by the time the weekend comes, it's an actual weekend to try and relax for the most part.
Yeah, I should be doing that because I don't have much of a social. I feel like I've been more social this last week than I have been in a really long time. So, it's usually like I'll go to the monthly meetup and, you know, maybe meet up with Sarah for tacos like once a month. And that's pretty much my social life. I'm like, oh, no, now I've got more meetups. Now we've got the what we're calling Nokomo is our Northern Colorado meetup, women's meetup. So we just started doing that this month. And then Casey Smith is flying in on her way to making Midwest. So I'm having lunch with her. And then, so this is just super social week. Elise, jump on in.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask a question. When I have any freelance or full-time work or things that other people need from me, I'm really good at getting those things done. But then when it comes to any personal projects that I want to do, it's very easy for me to just say, oh, I'll do that later. Or like, it's really easy to push it off. So I was wondering how you hold yourself accountable for things that you personally, things that aren't really making you money, but things that you want to get done. I feel like it's just so easy to not do those things.
Yeah. And I struggle with that every day. I do have it on my calendar, though. So sometimes, I'll push it, but at least it's on there. So it's in the front of my brain. And like in my my Skillshare class, I talk about how there's like this free time conundrum when you're a freelancer. What do you do with your free time? Or should you be working on a personal project? Should you be taking a class? Should you be doing your reach outs? Should you be working on your website? Like there's so many different ways, directions you can get pulled in. And the answer really is yes to all. If you schedule everything in small bites, you'll at least feel like you're doing something. and hopefully eventually you'll feel comfortable enough to work on a personal project. Cause it's hard if it's not making you money right away, but you got to think, long-term, like this stuff will probably attract the clients that I want. So it is important. So trying to treat it like it's a client and putting it on your schedule is the first step, but motivating yourself to do it, that's like a whole other thing.
Yeah. I found a little hack for that, for getting motivated when you want to like, and especially actually I've been doing this over the years. Like if there's a really big personal project I want to do, or just something I want to learn or something that I'm putting off and putting off and putting off. I'll do like an every day, whether or not I share it. Most of the time I don't. I just tell myself, I'm going to work on this for 15 minutes every weekday. And some days it's only 15 minutes and I force myself through it. And sometimes I get started and I'm like, oh, I'm getting into this. And then the 15 minutes is 2 hours and I actually get a lot accomplished. But it kind of trains my brain that like, I'm going to do this every day, even if it's just the littlest, most inconsequential part of that project, I'm going to do something. So it builds that momentum.
Also, have a colleague, or if you have an accountability group, that's when you want to be like, hey, talk to me on Friday and like yell at me if I haven't gotten this done yet. As I tell my accountability group that every once in a while, I'm like, hey, someone yell at me to get work done today because I'm just not into it. And everyone will rush in and help. So definitely helpful. And same with content, share it. If you are even doing it every day, sometimes just feeling accountable to share it so other people can see it can be motivation enough to keep going. But then also you beat yourself up if you don't do it. It's kind of that's a tricky thing.
Mm-hmm. I like this comment from Lucky, you can hire a freelancer to help you and then you feel guilty for not finishing it. It makes me think about how like the best way to clean your house is just to invite someone over. So yes. Like you have to do it. So, and that kind of falls into the accountability group too. Like it, if you tell someone that you want to get something done, there's another person there. It's like you're tricking yourself into doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When money is involved, it's very easy to keep going because you're guilty on several fronts, at least for me.
I feel it's, that.
It's yeah. Like, well, that was my savings, so I may as well use this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, yeah.
I used to host movie nights once a month to make sure that I was deep cleaning my apartment. And so I totally get that, but I haven't done that since my new place. Cause there's like no guest parking. It's kind of a pain to have people over, but I need to actually do that. Cause yeah, it helps me a lot. Well, it's funny. When Sarah and I hung out this last week, mainly that was also because like, I really just needed to like wash my hair. I was like, you know, it'll get me to wash my hair going out meeting somebody. So it's like, hey, let's go get tacos. So that definitely helps. Cause sometimes, you know, self-care kind of in, you know, basic health stuff goes out the window when you get just too overwhelmed with stuff. And y'all know me, I say yes to way too many unpaid things. So I need to start really prioritizing self-care and health stuff first. And like Natasha said too in the chat too, she has a standing desk, so she's able to kind of like move from standing to sitting, which definitely also shakes your mind up too. I have a standing desk and I almost never use it as a standing desk, but I should really maybe sit in the morning or stand, you know, like maybe do like the first half of the day in one mindset and position and then the rest of the day in another. I think that would help a lot.
I used to stand only during meetings. And when I was freelance for many, many years, I would just put the desk in standing mode for meetings. And then I got out of that habit when I was on staff at School of Motion because there were so many meetings that I would just be standing up all day long. So now maybe I'll try to go back to that, even though I'm sitting right now and this is a meeting.
Yeah, I don't have enough meetings to do that. I'll have like one meeting a week. So that's not enough time to stand. I don't know how any of you guys could do the treadmill though and work while you're walking. I would fall immediately. So I just have too many things already working on my brain. I think having something like that would make me fall. Also, does anyone have any good, like I use Notion. I learned a little bit about Airtable recently, but is there any sort of organization calendar stuff that everyone kind of prefers to work with? We could open up to that.
I use Notion and Google Calendar, but Notion has a calendar now. So I'm sort of trying to make myself switch to just using Notion Calendar because they, in big part, because it's not in the browser window and I can close the browser and my email is like gone, right? But my calendar is still there. And the only reason I have it is because the colors aren't as bright. And for some reason, I really like the bright colors in my calendar. So
yeah. I'm the same. I'm sad that the I think you can color code. Kendall and I were talking about this. I think you can color code the calendar app breakout thing of Notion, but having it actually in a Notion page, everything you could do icons. But yeah, no, I really loved. I missed Asana when everything was blocked out in colors for me to navigate my workday.
Yeah, the app, the Notion calendar, like separate app, it does have the colors in it, but it's just not as bright. They're all so stupid. They're just not as bright. They're more muted and it doesn't like stand out to my eyes as much. So it doesn't feel like it's as important to like pay attention to what I've blocked out in there.
I still use the Notes app technically for like at least when I'm breaking down projects, I have my shot list and I color code my shot list. Because a lot of people don't realize that you can do colors in the Notes app. You just have to bring up the color wheel. And so I color code all of my my statuses for each shot. Like, oh, I need assets for this. Oh, I already started rigging characters for this. Oh, this one's finished. So obviously that's like bright green and bold. And so that one, that's kind of how I get my color fix. Cause I used to do a daily planner where I would actually, you know, write everything down, but I hate crossing things out. And I was pushing a lot of things and I don't know, it's just cleaner on my computer, but there is something about taking physical notes for stuff that sticks in your brain. So I'm always torn on that. like I still have whiteboards all over my apartment with things that I like, you know, like my menus and different things. So I do kind of miss that. I guess then jump on in.
Yeah, I think I've mentioned this already in the previous call, but like I use it extensively, like Timely. Mm-hmm. Like there's other options, of course, than this one. But what I like is that like it records everything and it builds you like this virtual calendar in which you see not what's coming, but how your day went. Mm-hmm. And that helped me like, first of all, compare what I had planned and how it went, sort of. And but also it helped me a lot, like measure you know, we as time goes, we calculate better and better how much things are going to take, but sometimes it goes completely sideways and we get lost into the process. So this helped me a lot, like keeping it real and then adjusting my future calendars. And yeah, and good old Apple calendar on my end, because I don't know, I got so used to it. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
No, I hear that. I really like that idea of checking in with yourself at the end of the day and seeing how it went. Because yeah, that's how you're going to refine your schedule, especially if you don't have a schedule yet or you're trying to figure out what works for you. I think that's a really good practice. Or even at the end of the week too, if you can't do it every day, kind of check in with yourself to see how much you did get done. And don't beat yourself up for not doing all the things, because, yeah.
Yeah, that's a...
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say that's a side benefit of time blocking everything in your calendar is you can, and if you adjust those time blocks as you work, you could just look back and say, oh, I worked on that for this many hours and I know exactly how long it took. Mm-hmm.
It's helpful too when you're, you have new clients reaching out to you and they kind of don't really know, like, it's subjective on when you're a very fast motion designer. Well, what does that mean? So I have older projects that I was in Toggle and I, you know, obviously faster now, but it gives them a good idea on what kind of complexities, you know, how much work actually goes into that. Like, oh, it's a lip sync versus not, it's a character versus, you know, icons and stuff like that. Just really helps break that down to really give the client that sense of trust, first off. So yeah, timing yourself is really a good idea in the beginning. And then you kind of have a good idea of like quoting, like how, when you start looking at assets, you're like, oh, I know how long that's going to take me. And then always pad your schedule within maybe an extra day, just in case things don't go the way you think. Especially if you're experimenting with a new plugin or a new workflow, you know, don't make things harder for yourself. And also, I mean, I wanted to throw this out here kind of in the same vein to building into your routine how you market yourself. It's not just reach outs, right? It's like you have to be conscious of what you're putting on your socials, how you're engaging with other people's socials and stuff. So you're putting your personality out there as well as your work, and adding things like your behind the scenes content and kind of thinking ahead to make sure you have behind the scenes content. So you are recording your screen. Does anyone have any tricks for that? For like self-marketing?
I feel like since I just did the real challenge of my thing, I did a lot of that. So for me, it was having like film days. So I would pick like certain days that I wanted to film and just film on those. So plan ahead a little bit, so you just kind of know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And then you'll just know to film. Otherwise, you'll get like nothing done. And you'll be like, because I kind of did like loose dailies. Uh-huh. Just like during the weekdays and try to get as much done during those times. And then, yeah, but if I didn't plan ahead at least a little bit, I would get no filming done. And I would be there at the very end of the day going, oh crap, I need to post something. What do I put up?
Yeah, that would be 100% me. And I try to batch things as often as possible. Like when I released all my courses on YouTube, I pretty much had the entire class already scheduled out. So I took like one day where I did all of the social posts. So I had it all in a folder. So then I just had a reminder, oh, put this on LinkedIn that this is launching. And then I would just schedule all the different dates that the videos would drop. And going forward, especially with my cooking video stuff, I want to do these like batch days where I edit, you know, like 10 episodes and schedule them out. So I'm not doing this every day or every week. Cause yeah, it builds and you get overwhelmed pretty much immediately. And it's hard to stick with that. And even when I did dailies, like the sketch challenges, I wouldn't do it like every day because sometimes it didn't make sense. So sometimes I would do like five on the weekend instead to get ahead of it. And then I would post those out. So even when you're doing dailies, you know, sometimes you don't beat yourself up if it's not every day, but you still want that amount of time by the end of the month. There's a way to do that. You just need to find your days where you have a little bit more free time or you have a little bit more of a creative boost that you can do that. And I think there's nothing wrong with that.
I struggle so much with social to even just have an idea of what to post. I feel like most of what I do every day is not something I would share. You know, it's just, it's so hard to think of like, oh, people want to see this. No, they don't.
Well, maybe, I don't know. I feel like I appreciate the people that are posting their vulnerability. And even when like they're trying something new and it's not working out, I relate to that so hard. So it's nice to see that online because everything is so curated usually. Most people I feel like don't really come across as genuine, or it's like, where's the frustration? We know it's in there, you know? So for me, I try to give myself more grace on posting because I post a lot, but also I'm a single person living alone. So I figured if there's a day where I stop posting, someone will check on me, make sure I'm okay. So some of it's part of that strategy. But yeah, going forward, I don't really have a strategy, especially when I want to start promoting my YouTube stuff. I'm looking into that. I'm definitely researching that on, you know, Mondays are the, you know, promotional for this and Fridays are, you know, a teaser for next week, or, you know, there's ways to kind of help build in your audience. It's so foreign to me because before I was always just like, followers, psh, like I don't care. The number doesn't translate. But if it's something that I eventually want to get monetized, then yeah, I should probably focus on how to build my audience. Augustine, and then cons.
Yeah, I would say like, Sarah, I just posted. Like you would be surprised like how unexpected sometimes the response for stuff is.
That's true.
Like some of the posts that like worked better for me are the ones that maybe I thought were the shittiest ones, and that got like a lot of traction. And then some stuff like I put a lot of work on it that doesn't like moves barely the needle. So I would say like do your stuff. I think that's also a thing, is like we're kind of like constantly flooded by people being gurus of social media, talking about all the algorithms and this and that, and I'm going to teach you how to succeed and blah blah blah. And the fact is like, if there was like a magic equation that works, everybody will be using it and we would know. But like in fact, like nobody knows, because sure, there's like, you know, you can influence this or that, but like at our scale, we're just like dropping to the ocean. So surfing trends is not also a good thing, I would say. Mm-hmm. You know, like finding your own voice and, you know, like also bouncing on what people were saying about like personal projects and everything and time and health. I try to do my passion work inside of my work, if I can, like as much as I can, mm-hmm. because not only it's fulfilling and I get paid for it, yeah, but also because then that frees your time for other stuff, you know, because imagine your day otherwise. It's like you do all the things for the house, you do all the work and you do all the family stuff, and then you still have to work on your personal work, which mm-hmm. doesn't feel like work, but your brain is still like demanded, and you know, like. And so like, I know sometimes there will be projects where that won't be the case and you will be like, oh, this sucks. Mm-hmm. We all get those. It's like to put food on the table, like we say, but and sometimes like you get pushbacks, but sometimes the client goes like, oh, I would have never seen this like this, but we love it. And in the end, you are crafting your voice, your creative voice, and people will come to you for that voice instead of like being a jack of all trades. I do whatever you want, you know, like I do whatever styles, I do whatever this. Like once you find your thing and you inject that into your work, people will start noticing it, I think. I mean, that's how it has worked for me. And then they will see you for that. And you will be doing your passion work in a way. Because even like huge companies like Man vs. Machine, which do all these amazing renders, they go through compromise and iteration and a lot of changes and everything. So, you know, it's part of the deal.
Yeah, no, that's really good insight. Cons, jump on in.
Yeah, I think sort of like what you said, Jen, like some of the mental stuff, just as like designers and like lifestyle stuff, especially like freelancers, some of that stuff's actually like low hanging fruit. If you're like literally like thinking about like, how can I post something? And then it's like, oh, wait, this in itself is almost like a daily struggle or something, right? Mm-hmm. It seems like it's like, oh, who would want to hear that? But sometimes it's like reaffirming when, I don't know, when I see that stuff. But then also some like super easy stuff that's sometimes even just like a weird little shortcut or quirk in Illustrator or Photoshop or something that it like seems like, oh, this is just something that I do and super obvious. It's like somebody that's on my level, I wouldn't even like address this to, but somebody else that's like just below you or like doesn't know that shortcut or whatever, to them it's gonna be like something super valuable. So it's like you kind of never know, and it could be like also some low-hanging fruit just to be like consistent about posting. Mm-hmm. I saw Andrew Hoag's, he used to jump in here every now and then, but I saw like a story on Instagram where he was like, oh, you could do like neural, it was like the nerfs or whatever that like Lume AI does or whatever. He was like, oh, you could do these locally for like a year now. You have to go to like NVIDIA website and download it here. And I'm like, oh, snap. And like right away, I'm like sharing it to people, you know, where it's like something super little that he didn't have to post at all. But after seeing that, I'm like, oh, snap, I need to save this. I need to like share this so I don't forget about this and yada, yada. But yeah, so you never know where like the value is going to come from to somebody. I hear it very often where it's like, you know, if people are trying to get traction, usually the thing that they didn't think was going to get the traction is the thing that gets them the traction.
Yeah. So
it's hard to predict like virality, obviously, or whatever.
That's true. Although I am seeing a lot of behind the scenes stuff get some love on LinkedIn, and sometimes those get a little bit more boosts than the other ones. But also going back to what Augustine said about like developing your personal style and also like building in the stuff like you love with it, your work projects. I totally agree. I try to do that as often as possible. Like, yeah, I work on a lot of healthcare explainer videos and it doesn't seem like it's super cool, but for me, I'm building in these like challenges because I was inspired by something that I saw and I wanted to like build it in, and knowing it will work with the client style. But also at the same time, when you're developing your own style, a big part of that is learning how to articulate what you're doing, and which I think is very important. I think Kendall and I talked about this seriously at our other meetup. Like, you need to be able to describe how you're working, which for me, if you're in like a collab and you want to do a behind the scenes breakdown, that's an excellent opportunity to really start learning what your voice is and how you're describing how you're working. Because one, I hate bringing up AI, but with AI, you know, the people that are going to do really well with AI are the people that can articulate the prompt the best. So being able to know how to describe your own workflow is good. And that, going back to what Mark said last week with the NAB stuff, how hard it was for him to do a presentation on his workflow. When he just does it, he never really thinks about how to describe it and why he does what he does. I think that's going to be unique to everyone. And I think that's really interesting. So I like seeing behind the scenes content where there's actually a voiceover and the person is describing what they went through or maybe obstacles that they faced. Cause I think that's more exciting than, yeah, the nickel and dime LinkedIn, like this is how you're going to be successful in this industry stuff. It's all sounding the same, exactly the same. And especially with this podcast, I don't want us to go that way either. So that's why I love bringing up open discussions for us to discuss these things and also having guests on that are just a little bit outside of Motion that we usually collaborate a lot with, just to make us a little bit different. Cons, you have your hand up.
Oh yeah, no, I agree with everything you're saying.
Sweet.
Also, yeah, it's interesting because like the whole like getting traction, showing your work and stuff, it's like, mm-hmm. you know, if that's something that you're like thinking about, you know, I kind of posted in the comments when Sarah, you were talking about like what you want to, you were like working on something or somebody was talking about making personal work. And I'm like, you definitely have to share it because I think that part's really important because it not only obviously gets your personal work in front of other people. And obviously like, you know, if they don't know what you do, then they can't hire you for it. But it also ends up like you end up pushing yourself, that like motivation that you almost like maybe lack initially to like get on the box, do the thing, like really have that playtime that maybe inspired you to get into motion design to begin with. Right. Like that ends up refueling itself if you like post and post and post, because it's like you end up having a little bit of self-critique, you know, like some of that stuff you're able to like let go. But I don't know, personally, I get into like spurts, you know, sometimes I get into like downtimes and like feel like I have a little bit of like writer's block, but time I like, you know, get on a roll, I try to like embrace it and just.
I agree. I also think I think Kendall put this in the chat. She does like the daily pages from The Artist's Way. And I started reading that book and I feel like the most I got out of the book is going on art dates to inspire yourself, like getting out of your normal comfort zone of being on a computer, being inspired, but actually going to like a museum or, you know, a sculpture garden. Like I really want to go this next weekend to a thrift shop because I'm going to be hosting a retro collab soon for old cookbooks. So I want to actually go to a thrift shop and find old cookbooks that I'm going to scan in that everyone could animate. Because I think there's just something about finding inspiration outside of that, that's going to hopefully trigger you strongly. And when you do have that writer's block, cause yeah, that happens to the best of us and it's frustrating as hell. So being able to take yourself out of it, to get reinvigorated, I think that's great. All right. Well, we're past the hour here. This was a great call. Wow. This time went by really fast. Sarah, is there any closing remarks for this call that we want to cap off with? Or
I want to say thanks everybody for sharing your techniques. And I love how different everybody's routine is. I think that's one of the great things about talking about something like this is everybody has a different spin and a different thing that works for them. So it's really cool to hear.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you for joining us. Thanks everyone also for joining this week's call. You can find us on all social media platforms. We can finally say that by searching Monday Meeting. We're going to have the links to our Instagram and our LinkedIn in the show notes and on our Discord. We have that poll going out. So please fill that out just to let us know what time zone everybody's in and if this meeting call time is working for everybody. I know it's not going to work for everybody, but for the majority. And, you know, audio for this call on all of our calls are posted each week on your podcast app of choice and available with show notes at mondaymeeting.org. So we hope to see you next week and then the week after. Remember, we're down for Memorial Day. So I hope everyone has a wonderful week and we'll see you next time. Bye.